Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, 13. If you got your notes, get ready. It's on the screen also behind me. Ephesians chapter 6, 13 says this. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when, not if, but when the day comes, when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. We talked about that last week. In addition to this, take up the, let's say it together, shield of faith. Come on, one more time. Shield of faith, with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Thanks so much, John. Just a couple of weeks ago, I was making my way from the east side to the west side. I was on like 540, and I was taking the north way, so I was going kind of from like Wendell, Knightdale, all the way to the west side, Apex, carried to our west campus. And right as I pulled on the highway, I pulled behind the worst person that you could ever pull behind on the highway. It was like the huge dump truck filled with gravel and rocks and snakes and hand grenades and bullets and all of these things. You've never been there before. You're like, oh my, this is straight from hell. And I pull behind this guy, and I'm trying to get out of the lane. I look to the left, it's blocked. I look to the right, it's blocked. I can't slow down because there's a Dodge Ram behind me, and I'm in my little Kia, and all I have to do is hope and pray that my windshield withstands all of the gravel. And so time after, I mean, I'm like, please don't break this. Please don't break. Oh, here we go. That's the one. Please. And I was like, the worst of the worst situation. And there was nothing that I could do about it. And I was thinking back on that. I'm like, there could only have been one thing that would have made that situation any worse. There could only been one thing. And I was like if I owned a cat, that would have been the only thing that could have made that situation any worse. I'm like, that would have been the worst, you know? Cats get no love here at Focus Church. That's a joke. You all can laugh at that joke. That's just a joke. But Paul says, you need a shield. He says, you need a shield. Now, the Romans, they would have had these big shields that they would have used. They were like 4 feet tall. They would have been 2.5 feet wide, enough that really you could hide behind the entire shield. Now, I don't have that shield, but I have a better shield. And so do you want to see the better shield? Okay, three of you. Do you want to see the better shield, West Campus? I know the West Campus wants to see it. I got the best shield. Where is this, man? I got the vibranium shield in the house. Come on, somebody. I got Captain America's shield. Ain't no shield better than this shield. And Paul says you need a shield. Here's what I love about the shield. The shield is the first line of defense against the enemy. That means before the attack can hit my body, before the attack can disrupt my shoes of peace, my belt of truth, my breastplate of righteousness, my helmet of salvation that we'll learn about soon, before the attack gets to my body, it first has to go through my shield. I love the shield also because it's mobile, which means that when the attack of the enemy is over my mind, I can move my shield. When the attack of the enemy is over my body, I can move my shield. Oh, come on. When the attack of the enemy is over my spouse, I can reposition my shield. When the attack of the enemy is over my children, I can lower my shield. You need a shield. Some of y'all been walking around without a shield, and you are susceptible to the attacks of the enemy. Let's define, and it's the shield of faith. Say shield of faith. Write this down in your notes. Faith is my first defense. You never thought of it like that. Faith is my first defense. Let's define faith. Let's do that together. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says this. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance in what we do not see. Write this down in your notes. Faith is twofold. It's confidence, say confidence, and it's assurance, say assurance. Faith is not hope. Faith and hope are very different. Hope sounds like this. Hope sounds like, man, one day I hope that we can conceive a child. Hope sounds like, man, I hope that one day I can find a godly spouse. I hope that one day I won't be broke as a joke. I hope that one day my parents will come to the realization that they need Jesus. Faith says, in Jesus' name, we will conceive a child. In Jesus' name, I am blessed and highly favored. In Jesus' name, he has the perfect godly spouse lined up for me. And in Jesus' name, not only are my parents coming to know the Lord, but my grandparents are coming to know the Lord. My cousins are coming to Jesus. Their cousins are coming to Jesus. My whole family is going to get saved. You see, there's a difference between hope and faith. It's confidence. It's assurance. Here's another thing that faith is not. Faith is not feelings. Got so many weak feeling Christians. Not in this church, but in the other churches, obviously. Okay, we got so many weak, feely Christians in church. Grow a backbone. Sometimes you need it. Stop getting offended over everything that's said from the platform, from the Bible. Your faith is not dictated by your feelings. Sometimes it can feel good, but not be a faith move. Here's what I wrote in my notes. Gotten ahead of myself, but I'll catch up to myself. You can feel good and be empty of faith. You can also feel terrible and be full of faith, because faith and feelings are not connected. They're not. I don't know what you've been taught, but they're not connected. A.W. Tozer says it like this. Any faith that must be supported by the evidence of the senses is not real faith. If you're 70% sure, probably not faith. If you're 80%, faith likes the low digits. Faith's like, I can do with 10%. I can do with 15%. And if the only time you think that you're full of faith is when you feel it, you're being manipulated, my friend. You're being deceived, my friend, because faith and feelings are not connected. So how do you receive faith? I'm so glad that you asked. How in the world do you get faith? Well, you can't conjure it. It cannot come from within. It actually only comes from one source. And so I want you to write down, this is point number one, because we got 3 points about faith, so I got 3 hours, and we're going to get ready to go with this. Point number one, faith, you have to understand this. This is so crucial, and I'm going to say it, and it's going to fly right over your head. So lock in for a second. Faith must be received. Good. It has to. It can only be received, and that's not my opinion. I will prove it, and I will back it up biblically. It can only be received. It can't come from within. You can't wake up in the morning and pop a vein in your forehead and develop some faith. It can only be received. Now, here's where it's received from. This is what I call the faith formula. Romans 10, 17, it says this. Faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word about Christ. I'm going to break that down in case you did not understand that. But let me read it one more time. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. In other words, if you want to receive faith, you have to hear the word. Now, go back to Sunday school for a moment, if you were in Sunday school. And what is the word? The word is the Bible. I'm about to blow your minds real quick. The reason why you have no faith is because you don't read your Bible. You have zero faith because your Bible has dust on it. There's only one place you can receive faith. Literally. And it's not on K-Love. Unless they're singing about the Bible, which I don't know. It's been 20 years since I listened to K-Love. But you have to open up and hear, read the Bible. Without that, there's no go-arounds. Right. It's single-sourced. Right. There's only one option. If you want faith, it only, say only, only comes from the Word. And the Word is the Bible. Yes. Okay, so here's how we do this. I'm going to break it down even more. We got a list on the screen. So how do we get faith? We hear the Word. What does that mean? We read the Bible. Let me just help you very practically. Very good. I am not perfect. I don't always get it right. But my goal is every single day to read the Bible for 30 minutes a day, every single day. That's about 9 or 10 chapters every single day. And at about minute 25, at about minute 20, I know I just said it's not feeling, but I can literally, it's like you just sense the presence of the Lord and you sense faith beginning to fill you up when you read the Bible, because it can only be received through the Word. So I try to read the Bible 30 minutes a day, every single day. Maybe the only difference between me and you is I just read the Bible more. Right. That might be literally the only difference. You start reading the Bible 30 minutes a day, every single day for 30 days, your life will change so much. After day 3, you will look at people differently. On day 4, you will see money differently. On day 5, you will see church differently. On day 6, you will see your spouse differently. You start to read the Bible 30 minutes a day, every single day for the next 30 days, your life will change. You got to read the Word. The next one is this. You got to read the Bible with your spouse. A Proverbs a day keeps the devil away. That's what my youth pastor used to say. Read the Bible with your friends. Something about reading the Bible and talking about it with friends, because it was meant to be read and studied in community. Something about reading it with your friends, man, just God just does such a work. It builds your faith. Listen to a sermon. Okay, on Spotify, cut out all of the junk that you've been listening to and from work and just replace it with a sermon. Just replace it with the Word. You'll find your day is exponentially more full of faith when you just replace the monotonous music that you've been listening to with the Word. You with me? Say yeah.
Yeah.
Listen to a podcast about the teaching of the Bible. Be careful which one you listen to, but listen to a good one. Listen to a good one. Talk about the Bible with other Christians in a group. Groups open up again in the fall. It's an opportunity for you, again, to talk about the Bible, talk about Scripture, talk about the Word with other people. You can talk about the Bible while you're serving on a team. If you're serving in Focus Kids, talk about the sermon from last week. If you're serving on the safety team and you got some doubt, talk about what God has shown you in the Word this week. If you're serving on the worship team, that's hard to talk while you're singing, but do it after, in between services. Talk about the Word. Is this making sense? Is this helpful at all for anyone this morning? Faith must be received. Let's take it one step further. Hebrews 11, chapter 6 says this, and it is impossible to please God without faith. Wait a second. So we just learned that the only way that you can get faith is by hearing the Word, by reading the Bible. And then we read that it's impossible for you to please God unless you have faith. Which means to say that if you are not reading your Bible, if you are not hearing the Word, it's impossible, no matter how hard you try, to please God.
Wow.
I know I'm hitting them hard today, but are you still with me? Don't get up now, like Pastor Mike says. We know that you're going to be offended after this one. Okay, faith must be received. How do you receive it? You hear the Word. Point number 2, write this down. Faith must grow. It must grow. It's received first. I would say it's like a seed at first, but you have to work it out. Faith must be received, then exercised. James 2:17 says this, faith by itself, okay, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action is dead. Let that just sink in for a moment. That you have the ability to receive faith and do nothing with it, and then it dies. This is why we have so many dead Christians. Because they hear about forgiving others, but they won't forgive their father. They hear about forgiving others, but they won't forgive their ex-spouse or their ex-boss or their sister or that friend that said all those nasty things on social media about them. They hear about forgiving others, and you have been forgiven by Christ, and so who are you if you've been forgiven not to forgive anyone else? I mean, if God has forgiven you and you and I are a mess, if he's forgiven me, who am I not to forgive somebody else? But you hear the word, you do nothing with the word, and your faith dies. Now, let me just talk about forgiveness for a second. Forgiveness, because I don't want anyone to get confused in this place. Forgiveness does not mean that you are affirming that what they did to you was right. Listen carefully. What you're doing is you're choosing to release offense. You're not saying what they did was right because it was clearly wrong. But you're saying, I'm going to release my offense and go to God instead. And when you forgive, when you release that bitterness, watch the healing that begins to take place in your life. You got so many dead Christians because they hear about loving their neighbor, but they do nothing. You're the meanest person in Food Lion. Why are you so mean? Why do you look cranky all the time? Talk to the cashier every once in a while. Maybe they're having a bad day. If you're called to love others, then love others. It's so simple. You hear about serving, but you don't serve. Right. Let me just say this. Serving is not a focused church invented thing. Right. Mark 10:45 says this. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. It is a biblical thing. It's what Jesus did. But you come in week after week, Sunday after Sunday, month after month, year after year, and you won't even give an hour of your time on a Sunday morning to tell a child about Jesus. And so you're hearing the word, and you're hearing the word, and you leave, and you don't sign up to serve, and you don't do anything about it, and your faith is dead. Can I just talk plain? You're like, you already have been. Let's get even deeper. Let's talk about money for a second. Let's talk about generosity for a second. You don't give a dime about giving. That was funny. I don't care who you are. That was really funny. You don't give a dime. I'm not even talking about church. You're not generous anywhere. When was the last time you prayed for you paid for your friend's coffee? When was the last time you bought your friend Chick-fil-A? When was the last time you heard that your friend was going on vacation, so you sent them $50 so that they could enjoy a nice meal? When was the last, or does your friend come to you and say, man, I'm really short on cash, and you're like, well, just call the church. Come on. The Lord has called us to be people of generosity. It's literally in the DNA of Christians. If you're a Christian, you should be generous. Not only do you not give here, you don't give anywhere. Right. And I'm like dealing with this with my children. I'm like, hey, son, share your Spider-Man. Share your money. God gave it to you. It's not yours to begin with. Share it with others. And give to focus.com. But listen to this. I got a faith workout plan for you. Y'all ready? You have officially subscribed. The first 7 days are free to Pastor Michael's faith workout plan. After that, there's a subscription. It is subscription-based, but enjoy these first 7 days. Are you excited? Yeah. Okay, here's your faith workout plan. Remember, because you got to work it out. I mean, 2 Thessalonians is on the screen. It says this, we ought to always thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love of all you have for one another is increasing. It's biblical. Your faith can grow. Your faith can increase. How do you do that? You got to exercise it. So here's the faith workout plan. You ready for this? Write this down. This is good. You're going to do 3 reps. 3 reps of praying for people in public this week. You can do 3 reps. You're going to work out that prayer muscle a little bit. Let me just give you a tip for a second. If you're in Food Lion and you start to talk to a friend, you start to talk to somebody, and you're like, okay, I haven't hit my reps this week. I got to get this one rep in, right? Here's an appropriate way that you would pray for them. You just say, hey, can you shake my hand so that I can pray for you? And you just shake their hand and you pray. Don't call fire and brimstone down in aisle 7. Don't lay your hands on in the name of Jesus. We just declare that these grits would be sanctified and holified in Jesus. Like, don't do that. Don't get weird with it. Just shake their hand. Okay, and you don't even have to be eloquent in your prayer. Seriously, I want to release you from that. You don't have to really know what to say. Here's a really powerful prayer. You shake their hand, you say, God, I just pray that you'd help them. Just help them, Lord. They need your help. We look to you because you are our source. We need your help. In Jesus' name. That's a powerful prayer. When you pray it from your heart, you don't have to be eloquent with your words. That's ridiculous. Just pray a simple prayer from your heart. 3 reps. Y'all gonna do it? 3 reps this week. Eliminate the language, I'm praying for you. Just stop it. I've caught myself doing it. I know you have. Just stop it, because you don't do it anyway. Just pray for them in the moment. It'll make such a difference in your faith and in their life. And if you're texting someone, this is a good trick that I like to do. If you're texting someone, they're like, man, I'm going through a really tough time. I'll just do a voice memo. And I'll just say, Lord, I just pray that you be with my friend today, that you give them a great day in Jesus. And they can listen to that. Don't say, I'll pray for you. Just pray for you. Are you with me so far? Okay, the next faith rep is this. The next faith rep is 3 reps of generosity. I told you we'd circle back to it. 3 reps of being generous. So here's what you can do. You can send somebody money if they're in need. You don't have to send your whole bank. Just send something. Just send someone money if they're in need. If you find out that someone had a flat tire and you know that they're between jobs, hey, I know it's not the whole thing. Here's $100. I just thought that this might help. Send someone money to someone in need. Pay for somebody's meal or coffee unexpectedly. Just pay. Even maybe you're out to coffee by yourself, and just say, hey, I want to pay for the person behind me. It's going to be like $5. But what you're doing is you're exercising your faith. You're getting a little workout in. You're practicing generosity. Here's another thing that you can do. Bringing somebody a meal that's going through a tough time. Somebody's sick in their body. Somebody just went through a traumatic time, lost a relative or a child. Just bring them a warm meal. It's an act of generosity. And here's what I will say about praying for people, about being generous, about exercising your faith muscle. When you go to pray for somebody for like a physical healing the first odd number of times, and if they don't get healed, that's okay. You still prayed. That's okay. Don't get discouraged. You exercised. It might take 30 times. You might have to pray for 30 broken bones before somebody gets healed. But guess what? Every time you pray, you get a little bit stronger. Your faith works itself out a little bit more. You build a little bit more resistance. Are y'all with me today? Am I too mean right now? Work out your faith. Okay, here's, I'll just say this. I gotta say this because tithing is not generosity. Tithing is obedience. Hang on, wait for the claps. Tithing is not generosity. Tithing is the first 10% of all your income belongs to the local church. That means wherever you go, maybe you don't even call Focus Church your home, maybe you have another church back home, you should be tithing there. Tithing is the first fruits found all throughout Scripture that belong to the Lord. You can't even give a tithe. You can only actually return a tithe, by the way. And I will never say thank you as your pastor for tithing. I'll never say thank you because it's not between me and you. Right. It's between you and God. Right. I'll give you an example because this is helpful. But a few months ago, my wife, she went out of town for a day, I think. And I planned when she was going to come back, I was like, I'm going to clean the whole house. You know, I'm going to clean the whole house. When she comes back, you know, I don't know, brownie points. I don't know what it, but I love her, so I'm going to clean the whole entire house. So I mopped the floor, swept the floor, mopped the floor, disinfected the bathroom, my bathroom too, like the whole thing, everything, cleaned the kitchen, all of that, put the kids to bed, made a meal. So when she came home late at night, I was expecting her to be like, oh, man of God, holy moly. Man, I knew I married a 10, but I didn't know I married a 10, you know what I'm saying? I expected her to be like, let's, you know, that's awesome, and give me all these praises and everything. Well, in fact, she walked in and she said nothing. And so I felt like I had the husband responsibility to kind of like help her and show her like what I've done for her, right? How I've been generous to her. And so I began walking around the floors. Man, these floors are clean, you know? We could eat off these floors. Holy, these floors are clean. I went into the bathroom. I'm like, I can't even pee here. I'm going outside. It's that clean. Have you seen these? Who did this? I'm like, clean. She didn't notice. And finally, I went to her, and I was like, okay, babe, let me be real with you. I cleaned the house, and I thought that you would notice. And I did all this for you because I love you. And she put her hand on my shoulder, which is always a bad sign. And she said, honey, I love you, but this is what you should have been doing all along. Listen, you should be tithing. You should have been tithing all along. It's what God says to do. It's not even what I say to do. Right. It's what the Bible says to do.
That's right.
So you want to strengthen your faith or you want it to die? It comes down to obedience.
Yes.
Okay, enough with the giving. I know y'all like that so much. Then the last rep is this. Your one rep max this week. Remember, we got 3 public prayers. We got 3 acts of generosity. And we got 1 rep max is tell somebody about Jesus. Just tell them about Jesus. Like work Jesus into the conversation. Tell them about, maybe they're going through a tough time. Hey, I know that you're going through a tough time, and I don't know where you stand with God, but when you go to God, like he takes all that shame away. Like he died for your sins. I don't know that we say that enough to people. It's like, Jesus died for your sins. There's total peace and freedom. Do you know Jesus? Can we just pray together? And then buy them Chick-fil-A, and you got all 3 exercises in one. Piano, keys can come. Keys can come. Point number 3, we're going to close it up. Faith must be activated. So it's got to be received. It's got to be exercised. It's got to grow. And then faith must be activated. Here's what I wrote down. We activate faith by speaking God's word. And I'll prove it to you biblically. But we activate faith by speaking God's word. This isn't like name it and proclaim it, blab it and grab it. This is like 2 Corinthians 4:13 says this. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. And since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. It's right here. You want to begin to activate faith in your life? You've heard it. You've done some reps. But when the time comes that you need to activate it, you just speak the scripture. Children not following the Lord, you just speak Joshua 24:15. And you just say, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. I wish I had some godly parents that would stand up and begin to proclaim that over their household right now. As for me and my household, they will serve Jesus. They will not depart from him. As for me and my, and you just begin to proclaim it. There's power in your word. You say that right now. As for me and my household, my children, Elliot and Amelia, they will serve the Lord for the rest of their life. they will serve the Lord. Brandon, your son will serve the Lord for the rest of his life in Jesus' name. And you just look to Proverbs 22, remain standing. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Everyone at the South Campus, train up your children in the way of the Lord, and guess what? When they're older, they will not depart from the faith. Listen to this. Are you sick in your body? Do you have pain in your body? Stand up to your feet. Nothing to be embarrassed about. You got back pain, shoulder pain, migraines, headaches, a cancer diagnosis, whatever it is. Here's what you declare. Isaiah 53:5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. But check this out. By his wounds, I am healed. Begin to speak that out. I am healed by his wounds in Jesus' name. You can also say this, Psalm 103:3. He forgives my sins and he heals all my diseases. He heals them all. The ones that the doctor said that you couldn't recover from, my Bible says differently. And when you begin to speak it out, he heals all my diseases in Jesus' name. Are you anxious? I was anxious last week. The doctor said I had stress. I had chest pain. So what do? I go to Isaiah chapter 26 and it says this. Michael, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast, because Michael, he trusts in you. You look to Matthew chapter 6, verse 26. Look to the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than them? Come on, you are so much more valuable. And if God takes care of the birds, he's taking care of you too. Are you under attack? Stand up if you're under attack. If you feel the fiery arrows of the enemy, Isaiah 54 again says, no weapon forged against you will prevail in Jesus' name. Do you need victory? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. No temptation. No temptation. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. When you are tempted, he will provide a way out so that you can endure it. And then you flip to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And this is for everybody. But thanks be to God. He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Begin to praise God for the next 10 seconds. He gives us victory through Jesus. We thank you, Lord. No weapon formed against me can prosper. You can grab a seat wherever you're at. I'll tell you this one quick story as I close. I've never shared this in public before, only to a few people in private. In 2020, we have two children. We have a 5-year-old and a 4-year-old. They're my best friends, along with my wife. And in 2020, we started trying again for a third child. And we got pregnant, miscarried. Got pregnant again, miscarried again. Got pregnant again, miscarried again. And the third pregnancy was different. It was actually, if you were here last year, I preached on Luisa from Encanto, and I preached on pressure. I don't know if you remember that one. Three of you that were here, praise God. Very memorable word. And it was that morning, it was that Sunday morning, I woke up. It's like 4:30, 5 a.m. in our little side room, and I was sitting on our little green couch, and my wife was 6 weeks pregnant at the time, and the Lord spoke to me three things. Now, I've been following Jesus my whole life. I believe I've heard the voice of the Lord a lot, but I'm always about 50-60% sure it's God. You know what I'm saying? And then you let faith take over the rest, you know? This time was much different. This time I was almost 100% sure that God had spoken to me. And he said three things. He said, Michael, you have a son. His name will be Joseph. And he will carry the same anointing that you have over your life. And then 9 weeks later, the baby passed away. The nurses told us that it was a boy, but I knew that because God spoke to me. And I don't know why. Like, for what reason would God speak so specifically to me than for the baby to pass? And in that moment, the enemy would love to come in. And he'd love to get some arrows. And he'd love to pull back his bow in my time of vulnerability. And he'd love to speak things like, God doesn't love you. You didn't hear from God. This was your fault. And he begins to fire those arrows. And I don't know why, but I needed a shield. Yeah. And so I flip to Isaiah chapter 43. And Isaiah 43 says this, Michael, when you go through deep waters,
thank you, God.
I'll be with you. And Michael, when you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. And Michael, when you walk through the fires of oppression, you'll not be burned up. And my shield begins to rise. And then I go to Matthew chapter 5. And it said, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And my shield gets higher. And then my children are broken, and my wife is broken. And I go to Proverbs 18, and it says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. And I just raise my shield. And when the arrows come, I'm protected. I don't have to question God. I don't have to be susceptible to doubt.
Yes.
He's good.
Yes.
He's always been good.
Yes.
And no matter if I never know the answer, he's still good.
Amen.
You need a shield. Some of y'all have been walking around without a shield for far too long. You need a shield. You may be seated one more time. Bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment. Nobody moving around. You say, Pastor Michael, not only do I not have a shield, but I've never given my life to Jesus. This is your first step. I'm going to make it plain and simple. If you want to give your life to Jesus, on the count of three, just shoot up your hand across all of our campuses. You say, I want to start following Jesus today. I've waited too long. Today is the day. One, two, three. Just slip your hand up high enough. I'm not going to call you to the front. Just slip your hand up across all campuses. Just slip your hand up. If you're raising your hand right now, someone's going to hand you a white card at all of our locations. Just raise up your hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Would you repeat after me at all locations? In Jesus' name. Come on, in Jesus' name. I repent of my sins. I choose to follow you from here on out. I choose you as my Lord, as my Savior, and I need faith. I love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Can we clap our hands for Jesus today?
All right, can we go?